You're listening to the next phase of Cybersecurity Podcast. With this series, you can stay up to date with all the latest information and trends in the cybersecurity space by hearing from today's leading analysts, end users, and vendors so that you can be prepared for all scenarios to help protect your business.
Hello and welcome to the next phase of Cybersecurity Podcast, an EM360 production. My name is Max Curtin, Head of Content here at EM360 and your host on today's episode. Now, in today's episode, I am being joined by Lyndon Brown, who is the Chief Strategy Officer at Pondurance. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing Managed Detection and Response, MDR, services. So, Lyndon, welcome to the show and thanks for coming on today.
Hey, Max. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on, and I'm looking forward to diving into this subject matter a little bit more. But before we get to that, would you mind just giving our listeners a bit of background on yourself and maybe Pondurance?
Pondurance is a managed detection and response leader. We help organizations really across the globe quickly mature their security programs, defend against threats, and respond to threats as well. And really hallmarks of our product and our service really is about the people. We believe that the threat landscape is simply changing too rapidly to go at it alone. So we provide comprehensive security operations services that really help organizations quickly adapt and defend the human experience for their customers and also for their employees. So my role at Pondurance, Max, is I'm Chief Strategy Officer, and I'm really responsible for working with our customers and ensuring that our product is helping them solve their biggest security challenges. For quick background, I joined Pondurance from FireEye Mandiant, where I was a vice president of business development, helping organizations really around the globe and working some of the largest incidents. Prior to that, I built and grew a number of security organizations. And I really started my career and became obsessed with security when I first got on the internet, when an AOL disk arrived at my house and I logged on for the first time. And since then, I've really been captivated by the ability and the opportunity for the internet to help organizations and individuals, but acutely aware of the threats that are endangering this promise for us as humans. So super excited to talk to you today, Max, about how we're helping organizations and simply the biggest challenges that these organizations are facing.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's delve into MDR then. Let's start by kind of untangling what this new age InfoSec acronym actually means. So from your perspective and your point of view, what is MDR and how does it compare to its managed IT security predecessors such as MSSP, which is Managed Security Service Provider, and SIEM, which is Security Information and Event Management for our listeners?
Great. So I think it's always helpful to kind of look back at history and understand how these things really progressed. So the first MSSPs actually emerged when the first internet service providers really started popping up in the mid to late 1990s. Because if you think about it, there really wasn't a cybersecurity problem until everybody started really connecting to the internet. So there's a famous quote that says the invention of the shipwreck happened after the ship was invented. So it was pretty similar if you think about cybersecurity. That's really when MSSPs started getting involved. The challenge is that MSSPs were really predicated on prevention. They were developed in a world where the thinking was you can build big enough walls and keep attackers out. So your firewall and your antivirus were all highly focused on stopping attackers really at the front door. But along the way, attackers got a lot smarter, a lot more creative, and got access to newer technology and really found ways to get around those castle walls. So that's really where you saw organizations really trying to adopt more of detection and response capabilities. Many have tried to do it internally. So products such as SIEM, Security Information and Event Management products popped up. But the industry is really littered with either half implemented or partially implemented solutions around detection and response. So many organizations are waking up to the idea that they really need help from a third party who can provide the expertise and also the technology to support them. And that's really where MDR comes into play. It's about end-to-end detection and response, partnering with your internal team, but really bringing the expertise and technology that simply most organizations can't get on their own.
Mm-hmm. I think that's perfectly explained. It's a very interesting area and a very fast growing and with a lot of opportunities. And that's what we're going to kind of highlight here today. And it's interesting to kind of look at last year, Gartner, they estimated that by 2025, 50% of organizations will be using MDR services for threat monitoring, detection, and response functions. So it's propelling the projected industry spend to around $4 billion in the next 4 years, which is a huge, huge number. So what's happening in the current threat landscape for this predicted uptake and investment in MDRs to be so high?
Yeah, a number of things are occurring. So on the attacker side, we're simply seeing the number of attacks increase. Cyber attacks are a household name. Ransomware is a household name. You see it on 60 Minutes. You see it on the front page many times during the week. So what that's really emblematic of is simply more attackers, a diverse set of organizations that can be exploited, and simply the economics shifting in terms of it really only taking a few dollars of offense to be able to defeat millions of dollars of defense. So some stats that are out there are that, Gartner even says by 2025, 75% of organizations will, face one or more attacks. We also see the number of attacks increasing daily at about a rate of 50% just over last year alone. So there's the attacker side of the house where there are more attacks, things like ransomware, and those kind of tactics are just becoming more pervasive. But also defenders recognizing that there really is a maturity model here. Some organizations are at the prevention side and really looking up and saying, I want to do more. I want to be able to appropriately not only manage my security devices, but actually field and respond to what they're telling me. So keep up with the alert volume, keep up with the need to investigate those alerts, but also do more advanced things such as threat hunting, which is without an indicator, looking through an environment and looking for active or dormant threats, and then also being able to respond. There's an old adage, right, about the kind of the dog that chased the bus and then he caught the bus. It's similar with detection. You want to be able to actually have a response capability versus just knowing that something's going on.
Exactly. It's very important to have the tools to function within the organization. And speaking of organizations, it's interesting when we start to delve into this a little bit more. I'm curious to understand what common challenges are organizations facing when it comes to securing their assets and protecting themselves from these cyber threats and attacks. Are any of these challenges unique to kind of mid to small enterprises?
Absolutely. I think there are some common themes, and then I think there are definitely some specific challenges that impact certain sectors and impact certain organizations based on size, et cetera, right? So everyone is faced with this threat landscape. And a couple of years ago, many people thought that it was just the top tier banks of the world or the top tier defense contractors that were really being attacked by these nation state attackers. As we all know now, local municipalities, local regional oil and gas providers, pretty much every sector has been touched by ransomware or other threats. So that kind of removes the prior belief that it was really only the 1%ers that were being attacked. So now everyone is a target across Wall Street, across Main Street, et cetera. So when we dive deep into the particular factors that are creating this environment, there are a number of things. There's absolutely a cybersecurity talent shortage. There are simply not enough people with the experience and hands-on expertise to be able to support and keep up with the attack landscape and the number of companies that need to be protected. At the same time, once someone is actually able to hire a security professional, I talk to a lot of CISOs, and what they tell me is once they hire someone and train them, that person is often able to leave within 12 months and get double their salary somewhere else. So it's a pretty tough environment to actually be able to both obtain talent and retain it within your organization. Security technology, there have definitely been some advancements from AI, machine learning, and a whole bunch of other aspects. But if anyone listening has gone to a security conference lately, virtually or physically in the old days, the one big observation is that there are simply thousands of security vendors. And being able to make sense and understand what those particular vendors do, how it fits into your particular risk and addresses your particular challenges is daunting for everyone, but extremely daunting for a mid-market customer who has virtually no internal security talent, expertise, or personnel. So that's definitely a factor. And then the two other points I will mention, one is just around compliance and regulatory requirements. So we are absolutely seeing new laws popping up around privacy, and in fact, potentially some new legislation popping up around breach notification and defense. But even with the existing statutes that are out there, whether it's HIPAA or whether it's other particular compliance mandates, it's becoming really hard for organizations to convince auditors that they're really doing everything that is required to protect the data. So this is really an area that we see all organizations facing with, but mid-market companies specifically, trying to make sense of these complicated, disparate technologies, not having the internal expertise or the processes to actually be able to keep up with what defenders are doing.
Definitely. There's so many challenges that you just kind of listed there that people are going to be very aware of, but it's tricky to kind of fight against all of them on all fronts. It's having the best plan kind of going forward as we do. And you were mentioning in there, obviously, the threat landscape and how typical that is for changing and how much it kind of changes on a daily basis. So from an MDR perspective, how exactly is MDR helping organizations to tackle that threat landscape and the typical managed IT security pain points that we all know so well? What are the technicalities behind the security as a service, if you will?
Sure. I think there are kind of two kind of sides of the spectrum. Either you're an organization that gets no alerts, no security alerts, right? Or you're an organization that gets a lot of security alerts, right? And there's a stat that says 41% of organizations are getting 10,000 plus alerts per day. Now, both are problems, right? If you're an organization that has no alerts, it likely means that things are happening that you have no visibility into. If you're an organization that gets 10,000 alerts per day, you may be detecting things that are happening, hopefully, but there's so much noise that you're likely missing the needle in the haystack. In both of these cases, MDR providers play a role. It's about bringing the people, process, and technology together to solve the problem at hand. I'll start with the people, and I think we spend a lot of time talking about technology, and there's a lot of interest in AI and machine learning and all the buzzwords. But I think the key thing to note is that as long as there is a human attacker, you'll need human defenders. Human beings are simply too creative, too motivated, and too ingenious to be able to stop them with machines alone. So that's one of the things that, you know, I think that best MDR providers get right is recognizing that it's really about that human expertise and being able to apply it across a customer base who would have a hard time really attracting, retaining the level of talent that the MDR provider is capable of having. So, and what I mean by personnel, that includes the intelligence aspect of it. So understanding the threat landscape, understanding what the latest attackers are doing. You know, back in February, we actually got credited with detecting a new ransomware group and their particular tactics, you know, months before the rest of the industry. And that's simply required to be able to build and implement a detection strategy that can protect against those particular threats. But the expertise includes threat intelligence analysts, security analysts who could actually look at alerts and understand what's happening in the environment. It also has to include threat hunters who are capable of looking into the unknown and identifying suspicious, unusual activities and running that to ground to be able to uncover what's happening. And also incident responders. When you detect something, it's kind of good to be able to take some actions to deal with it. And that's something that we believe is absolutely a core requirement of the talent that an MDR provider needs to bring to the table. But on top of that, there absolutely is the process. Being able to efficiently and consistently perform detection, response, deploy and manage the technology, and also incorporate an understanding of the business, whether that's asset information, vulnerability information, or other information. And then finally, you know, we'd love to talk a little bit more about the technology, but historically, organizations were forced to make tough decisions about where they would have good visibility at. So back in the late 90s, early 2000s, the network was seen as really the best vantage point. But as time has evolved, organizations really recognize the need to have detection and response across a variety of different terrains, including the endpoint, the network, and logs that are coming off of applications and security products. So an MDR provider, particularly one who's built to solve today's challenges, really needs to be able to bring all these things to the table and partner with the internal IT or security team of their customer.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree with that. I think that's a very important distinction to make there. Can you give us some case study examples of companies who have, you know, largely benefited from using MDRs to either be an extension of their security team or act as their security team?
Sure. Happy to. I think, you know, to be illustrative, I'll give a couple quick examples here. You know, the first, you know, we talked a lot about ransomware, and that's just simply grown into a very profitable way for attackers to really make any data or any data that they can gain access to valuable to them, right? So historically, ransomware attackers would have to look for data that had a market value on the open market. So think credit card information or other information that cyber criminals can actually take and leverage in that capacity. The interesting thing that happened with ransomware is that attackers found a way to monetize anything that an organization needs to run their business, right? It could be their accounts payable, accounts receivable system. It could be their CRM, right? All data that maybe doesn't have a market or a value on the dark web, but being able to actually hold it for ransom really became kind of the turning point for the threat environment that we see today. So we've had organizations, you know, healthcare, manufacturing, others who have come to us, adopted our services, and have successfully been able to defend against some of the most threatening risk to their business. And it really starts by understanding the company, understanding the risk that they face, understanding what's most valuable to them, and putting in place a managed detection and response service to really support those business needs. So whether it's manufacturing customers who've been able to defend against threats to their logistics and supply chain, whether it's healthcare or financial services customers able to quickly either prevent or quickly detect and respond to threats that have victimized some of their peer organizations. Those are some of the, you know, the things that we wake up for, is really being able to help customers defend against those.
Excellent. I think those are some really good examples there of what we're kind of talking about. And another important point that we should be making here, and it's been alluded to kind of throughout, but it's important to note that there is no one-size-fits-all approach to MDR. So what do organizations, both big and small, need to be considering and look out for when choosing an MDR provider? What criteria can be used to evaluate vendors, if you will?
Yeah, I think there's varying maturity levels just naturally within organizations, right? Some organizations have a firewall and antivirus product. They want to do more, but they're not really sure where to start. Other organizations may have adopted some technologies, maybe an endpoint security product that goes further and has detection and response capabilities, or maybe they have a half-implemented SIEM or a next-generation kind of network security product, etc. So I think the first thing I would recommend to an organization is to understand how a provider that you're evaluating fits with your technology stack. Are they asking you to rip and replace everything, which puts you on a, you know, maybe a 12-month journey to do that? Or are they actually able to support and accommodate what you're leveraging in a time that's measured on days, not months, not years? So I think that would be, you know, top of the list. But additionally, every organization has different risk tolerances, has different policies, whether it's from an industry mandate, the government, or just internally. They don't want certain activities to happen on their network. finding an MTR provider who can fit those policies into the detection and response strategy is really important. Otherwise, you either risk not enforcing or not having visibility into policies, or you run the risk of getting a lot of noise for things that you deem to be okay for your business and your provider is constantly notifying you of, et cetera. So those are two items. But beyond that, I would say pretty much every organization that I talk to now is in some way and somewhere on their journey to the cloud, right? Some are one foot in, one foot on-prem, hybrid, multi-cloud, a variety of different postures in that sense. So I think another thing that I would definitely add to the list would be looking at who can support both your on-prem and cloud assets. Because again, having one asset that's unprotected, really that becomes the weakest link in the chain. The human side of it, understanding who's on the other side, of the curtain, if you will, understanding that machines and technology and analytics are great, but really the quality of the service you're getting is really going to depend on the expertise and the experience that is sitting alongside you virtually. So really, understanding how many years experience these team members have, what are their skill sets, do they understand my industry? That's definitely another big piece of it. And then the final thing I will add is the incident response capability. I think the last thing a customer wants to hear is, hey, customer, you have a major problem. And here are, here's some phone numbers you can call to try to get some help versus customer, we detected something, we took care of it based on the approval that you've given us. And, the coast is clear. I think that's a much different outcome. And I definitely believe that having that incident response capability is critical. And our customers simply tell us that, right? When something goes bump at 2 a.m, they just want it to be handled. They want to be informed, but they want it to be handled. And that's a big difference in terms of just the different providers that are on the market now. And us at Pondurance, we're definitely in the camp of providing full-fledged incident response in concert with the continuous detection and response service.
Mm-hmm. It's so extremely important to kind of make those differentiators. And you've outlined some really great points there that I hope a lot of our listeners are kind of making note of when they are looking for these kind of solutions. Just to kind of wrap up the podcast here, because unfortunately we're coming near to the end, but I want to look slightly towards the future with how EDR kind of fits into all of this. Another element that we should talk about in regards to this is XDR, which is extended detection and response. The latest kind of security management technology to hit the detection and response market. So where do you see this new advancement heading and what potential does it have in contrast to EDR?
Sure. So I think, the key element here as we think about the evolution of the space is recognizing that full visibility should be a tenet of any detection and response strategy. It's really hard to detect, if not impossible, without full visibility. So the emergence of the term XDR, which has popped up, for a couple of years now, and our platform's been XDR before there was a term. So, dating back to network analysis in 2013, adding endpoint detection and response capabilities in 2014, 2015, and then integrating log and cloud analytics is absolutely, core to our approach and what is simply required to be effective as an MDR provider today. So I think, if you think about XDR as a standalone technology, its fate will be similar to SIM in a sense that many organizations will adopt it, buy it, but have limited success simply because of the people process requirements to actually make it run. So if you're a mid-market organization, even with one or two, maybe even five security personnel, it's really tough to have a person or two full-time dedicated to keeping a device up, running, configured, et cetera. So really, our approach at Pondurance is leveraging an XDR platform to be able to provide 24/7 managed detection and response services. So my point on this is that, mid-market customers, there's always going to be a new term, a new acronym to go learn and research. And I think the core thing here is just identifying a partner who can be on that journey with you and help you navigate the various technology trends and evolution points that will absolutely keep occurring over the next few years here.
Excellent stuff. I think that's the perfect note to end on. And all I can say here, Lyndon, is thanks for being on the show and giving your insights into MDR. It's been fascinating hearing your perspective on it all.
Great. No, thanks for having me. And really, you know, really, really excited just to be engaging and helping these organizations solve problems. Pundurance is a leader in the MDR space. I've been doing it for a long time, and you know, helping customers, you know, across the mid-market and small enterprise help accelerate their detection and response needs.
Excellent stuff. And yes, if you are listening and you're wanting more information on what we've been discussing here in this podcast, then please do head on over to pondurance.com. There is some fantastic resources on their site and some great information. And I'm sure if you have some more questions, then a member of their team will be more than happy to help you. So that's a wrap on this episode. Again, thank you to Lyndon and thank you to Pondurance for featuring in this episode. It's been a great conversation. We'll be back soon with another episode in this series. Until then, you can join the conversation at EM360Tech on Twitter and LinkedIn. Subscribe to this podcast series. And of course, for more great daily content, head on over to EM360Tech.com.